Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. Comes out weekly. Anyone who wants to receive it can come to turnerstake.com and sign up for it. Also, this podcast, Turner's Take Podcast is free for anyone to receive. I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with broker-assisted clients, online traders. We have a fantastic online platform for your computer and phone. Also, a very popular hybrid service, which is a mix between the both. I work with hedgers, speculators, if for clients here, you can receive Turner's Take Market Alert, which has some of our spec trading ideas, and Turner's Take Ag Marketing, which is for the farmers and our hedge commentary and ideas. So you can find all my contact information in the show notes of this podcast, but also on the websites turnerstake.com and turnerstakeag.com. Feel free to contact me anytime. So it's the third attempt I've been making at doing this podcast today. So let me just, it can be tough on days like today because it's just so busy around here, especially after a report like that. So real quick, one macro review. The stock market is now only a couple of percentage points off its all-time highs. I think Ludlow came out today and said, you know, they've got about, he thinks U.S. growth is going to be 3% even with the Chinese trade war and the tariffs and all that. It's probably a little optimistic, but even if it's 2 or 2.5% and the Fed has already come out and said if things, you know, get challenging for the economy, they're prepared to cut interest rates again, I think that's going to be supportive. So really the next thing to do is really just look at GDP, unemployment, see what the Fed has to say, and, you know, the big corporate earnings. But it looks like right now, stock market's going to be trending higher. I still like it. I still like those micros I've been talking about. I think they're a fantastic way to buy the stock market at $15,000 at a time with a $600 overnight margin. Makes it a lot easier doing the futures market than it used to be when it was the E-mini S&P, which is $150,000 worth of pretty much the S&P for the most part, and like a $6,000 overnight margin. Which really isn't for everyone. That's a big contract with that could be a lot of volatility. So I like the micro better on that. You can play both sides of it. Long term, I like the long side. In the short term, it's definitely, it's a stock market. It's a lot of times it gives you tradable ranges. So anyways, feel free to contact me if you want to talk about that. As far as the grain markets go, it was a big day today. Yesterday, we had crop conditions. Seems like forever ago, but it was really at yesterday after the close. You know, corn was at, I'll say 59%, good to excellent. Market was looking for 54, but I mean, the average is in the 60s. Last year's, I want to say we were in the 70s. So it definitely was lower. And what does that translate into? What was interesting too about yesterday's crop progress report is, you know, corn acres did catch up, but we still have to plant 15 or 16 million as of like the weekend. Soybeans still had a ton of, I think we were only 60% planted. It still had a ton of acreage it needed to catch up with. I want to say it was like 30 something plus million acres. And, you know, the emergence, you know, the way the crop ratings go, it's based on emergence. What has popped up, you know, might look okay. But what hasn't yet, and what got planted late in, you know, cold, wet weather. So it's going to be, we'll just have to keep an eye on that. So the big, I think, surprise today in the WASDE report, because the market sold off overnight, because the crop ratings weren't as low as maybe the market was kind of hoping for. And we did get a little bit more planting done during last week's dry period than the market probably thought. So today, the WASDE comes out. Corn was down about 5 cents in the overnight. Ends up finishing around 10 higher, so we get a 15-cent higher swing. And the reason being is planted acres, the USDA did bring down acres, 3 million, from from 92.8 to 89.8. So, and then that brought down harvested acres down 3 million too. The big news, though, was the yield per harvested acre. That went down to 166, so we went down 10. So that was really the big news. What ended up happening is production came down a good 1.35 million, billion bushels. So we started off with ending stocks about 2.4, 2.5. You lop off 1.3 on that, and we're at a 1.2 ending stocks. But once you hit the 10% stock to usage number, which is like that 1.6, 1.5 area, 1.4, you start the price ration, meaning that prices go so high, you're going to lose corn demand on the feed side. You'll lose it on exports. And then if it gets even worse, you'll eventually lose it on the ethanol side too. So what did we see? We saw the USDA adjust feed down 300 million. So we went from 5.45 billion on the feed and residual down to 1.15. We saw the exports come down from 2.27 billion to 2.15 billion. So total use ended up coming down a little bit over 400 million bushels. So the ending stocks didn't come down, you know, 1.2 or 1.3 billion. It really came down about 800 million. Now that's still a big deal because ending stocks are now 1.675, stock to usage about 11 to 12%. USDA raised their average on-farm price from 330 to 350. So they increased, you know, the what they think should be the average on-farm price over the course of the year, 50 cents. Because of the lower acreage and the lower yield. Now, what does that mean for corn? It probably means we're at the higher end of the range for right now, in my opinion, which is at 450, 455 for the Dece and the 435, I think, for the July, right around there. And, you know, what sends us up next is if these acreage and the yield numbers keep going. The acreage, I do think, is going to come down. I wouldn't be surprised if we came down another 3 million acres, maybe even more, depending on who you listen to around here or in the internet and the analysts and the traders. For the yield, starting off at 166, the big debate around the office was, is the USDA just being aggressive and getting in front of things? Or is this part of the slow walk, and is 10, can 10 bushels be a slow walk? I think they're getting aggressive there on kind of getting in front of the yield. That's my personal opinion right now, but we'll kind of have to see how things shake out, see what other people say. You always get a lot of good information out there when you collaborate with others. And but that's where I think we are right now. To go higher, like, get a lot of questions, you know, how do we break out, you know, to the four, you know, above the 454, like into the 460s, and at four, let's call it the 460 to $5 range. How do you break out into that range? And I think what has to happen is you got to lose another 3 million acres. And you probably have to lose, we have to start talking about the low 160 yields, high 150s. And that's when I think you can see that next like higher. Because keep this in mind too. You know, someone brought up a fact that I want to say it was 2012 when corn went into that $6, you know, we were talking about $6 corn and higher. I think we had production of about 12 billion bushels around there. I'll have to double check on that, but I think it was. Keep this in mind. We were already tight from corn year over year, but the global stocks were also tight, right? And we had a shutdown demand, globally and in the United States back then. Right now, I was just looking at the world numbers. And the major exporters have at least 2 billion of corn that they can ship, right? Where, you know, that's still available. Like, they still have excess supplies of 2 billion bushels that they can comfortably let go, I would say, in my opinion. So, while back then, they didn't have that. Like, that cushion didn't exist. So, I'm not saying prices can't go higher. I just don't see the $6 talk, or even well into the fives, unless we're losing 6, 7, 8 million acres plus a sub 160 yield. And the real difference being is just that export. I just see the exports in the United States as, you know, if we did get into the, if we did break out and start going over into the 460s, 470s, 480s, I see two things happening. One, the exports just coming down. You know, another couple hundred million, and then feed. You know, we have plenty of wheat in this country. We can feed a lot of wheat. So don't want to put a damper on things. And I do want to use these rallies for sales. I put out my newsletter today, and we are making some new sales here. And I'm not saying we can't go higher. We can always buy call spreads to replace sales. It's just that it's not a repeat of 12. I don't think it is. And I only say that because just the global stock situation is different. There is room for error. There is room for losses in the United States because global stocks can make up on the export front. And we have so much wheat in this country, we can also help feed. Doesn't mean corn can't go higher. It just, how much higher is going to be the question here. So I do like in the short term being long. I like ways of being long. You know, limited risk ways of being long in case we do go in the next higher. But we also have to then use, if that does happen, we have to sell into it. And not just for this year, probably for next year too, because we're going to probably have a boatload of corn acres next year. Because when you look at beans, it does not look great. You know, they kept acres and yield the same, which isn't a surprise. It's too early to change those things. What was concerning is exports came down by, I want to say, 250 million. I think the exports were 1.95 for the old crop, and now they're 1.7. So the USDA has lopped off another 250 million in ending stock, in bushels, which put old crop ending stocks at 1.07. I mean, it's almost 1.1 billion. It's a huge number. And then with, you know, 84.6 acres and a trend line yield of 49.5, we pretty much use as much as we produce. So it barely affects, you know, those numbers, 84.6 planted and 49.5 yield, don't do anything to ending stocks. We're still at a billion for the most part, right? And we're still in the low eights come harvest, if not high sevens, right? With no China deal, African swine flu, and the big South American production. So I think if we get some rallies here because planted acres come down, I mean, we've got, 30 million plus acres to plant. And, you know, I know from what I talked to, farmers, they do expect yields to come lower. Though I was looking at some of the research and, you know, maybe yields only come down one or two bushels because of late planting, not the, you know, not the 10 to 15 you may be looking for in corn. But if that did happen, let's just say we do come down 2 million bushels in yield. You know, 2 million bushels. So 2 bushels, I'm sorry. As soon as I'm coming 2 bushels in yield, 2 bushels times, you know, 84 million acres, that's 168 million bushels. I mean, ending stocks goes from 1.05 billion to 900 million. It's not good. That's not good at all. So I think, if November soybeans goes above 9 here, you know, because of late planting, acreage, and harvest yield, we may just have to get aggressive. And if I got to buy a $10 call or buy a $10, $11 call spread just to, you know, just to leave some upside open for a relatively inexpensive price, you will. But I think there's going to be a lot of beans. We're going to have a demand issue. We've got a demand issue with swine flu, and we've got a demand issue with China. And that's just the way it is. And next year, we're going to have to be, I can't believe I'm saying this, we're going to have to be next year under 80 million acres for soybeans. We're going to have to lose another 5 million acres. Which, by the way, if that happens, for every 5 million acres we lose in soybeans, we're only taking 250 million in production off. So to go, let's say we finished the year with around a billion or 900 million. You know, 900 million minus 250, we're still at 650 next year. We would need probably 2 years. 2 years of sub 80 planted acres in soybeans to get back to where we're talking about, you know, mid to high $9, $10 across the board soybeans. That's assuming demand comes back. and we have trend line yields, and you know, just get normal supply and demand years. Obviously, things can change, like what happened with corn. But that's where we are. So for the rest of the week, I do like the idea in the short term being long corn. I do think we need to start thinking about the end of the year marketing and into next year too, to put things in place for there. The wheat number looks ugly. We got a lot of wheat. I'm sure we will get some demand though from because of the corn situation. What looks even worse is the soybeans, and we got to start. I put in my Turner's Take ag marketing newsletter today. Let me bring that up real quick. I mean, we're sold out of old crop soybeans at average price of $9.63. At the time, I didn't think it was all that great. Looking back now, I'm excited about that. But new crop, we're only sold 20% at $9.47. So we get above $9, we're gonna have to start selling soybeans here. As far as old crop goes for corn, we should be after today 80% sold, average price about $4.12. For the new crop, we should be about half sold, 50% sold at $4.23. I can understand how guys don't want to get anything beyond that, especially if they don't know if they're gonna have it. I know I have clients out there that are very concerned about their entire crop, and if that's the case, then just really focus on the old crop for now. There's nothing I can really do about that, I'm sorry to say, but that's just kind of the reality you have with these kind of weather markets. So that is the podcast for the week. If things change, I'll try to do one towards the end of the week, but otherwise I'm going to just update the newsletter, Turner's Take Ag Marketing, for any kind of updates. I will be out of the office next week. I will have my cell phone, but it's my family reunion, which I'm going to turn into my summer vacation with the family, which is usually I don't do. I usually am here in the office pretty much all spring. I mean, from April, May, June, July, and into mid-August, I'm usually in the office, but this year is a little bit different. But for all you, you know, if you can contact me, I will have my cell phone on me. Just, you know, for the farming clients out there that need me during the during next week for marketing this. Feel free to contact me. I'm happy to help you out. You can also just call the trade desk, and there'll be a broker here. Who can help you out too, or contact me if need be. But that is the situation for next week. I don't see fireworks next week. I think if we're going to get some real big, we'll have the crop ratings report again next week. That'll be interesting to see. And then if it continues to stay low, or good to excellent, poor to very poor, I think that's the next story that's going to play out. It's going to be for the next 4 to 5 weeks. We'll finish up probably the acreage expectation the next week or two, and then between now and, let's say, mid to late July, we're going to have a lot of debates about yield, and hopefully we can use those opportunities either to be long now, and also to sell into for the end of the year and for next year. So if you want to help with your plan, please let me know, or get in contact with me if we have been talking, and we'll update what we'll be looking for and get a game plan going. Have a great week, everyone. Again, I'll be out next week. If you know anyone who likes these podcasts, please pass it along. And if you don't get Turner's Take newsletter, go ahead and sign up for it. If you like Turner's Take podcast, really appreciate you giving us a review on iTunes. The more people who rate the podcast that like it, the more people who will find us on iTunes and the other podcast apps. So thanks very much. Have a great week. Good luck out there. Talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.